So now is Bible reading. Today's passage comes from James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. It's James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. Verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault is what they say, in what they say is perfect, is able to keep the whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. When the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So I'll invite Pastor Derek to come and share with us about the topic, holding your sharp tongue.
Hello, yes. Let's pray to start. Dear Lord, your words are so true. And when we read that, when we listen to that, and compare with our own life, Lord, we find it difficult. Lord, help us to hear what you going to teach us. May your Holy Spirit be here, presence among each of us, so that we know how to follow your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I find it a bit struggling when this is the second time we use James as our scripture. We will do another one in 2 weeks' time. It's sort of when look at what James said, it happened in our life, or it happened in our life before, and it may still be very valid in different part of our life. So let's think about that. I change a little bit, like I'm thinking about holding your sharp tongue, like controlling your sharp tongue. I think mastering is maybe a word that is good. Before getting to that, let me show you something. This is my house. I haven't invite many of you to come to my house because it's quite far away. I don't want to be turned down too many times. And secondly, because we are doing some renovation. We're slowly changing the floor. And my wife said, I better not invite too many people before we get those done. So that's the worker, my wife there. Certainly I do some work as well. In order to put those new floorings, we need to take away the carpet. You need to remove the carpet, the underlay, and also some wood that is used to grip, to make sure that the carpet is in place. So that have nails on the top of that. So the usual way is to use a whacking bar and a hammer and all sort of tools that you try to get it out, because there's nail on the concrete floor. To do that job, I bought a wrecking bar. I think it's really useful. But I used my hand to replace the hammer. And I did it for the first three rooms. Every single time after I clean up those wooden pieces, I feel like my palm is like have a sore palm afterwards. So the fourth time I got a proper tool to replace my palm. So it's a rubber hammer. And then this time everything goes really smoothly, because I used the hammer to get the wrecking bar underneath the wood and then get it out a lot more easier. As I do more house improvement, I find that again and again how important tools are. You can usually get the job done really easily with the proper tool. Without that wrecking bar, you're not going anywhere. You spend a whole day sitting in front of those wooden pieces. God has given us a great piece of tool. That's our tongue. It works great if we use it properly. But if you don't, it's like a sharp knife. It will cut your hand. It will hurt people around you. I cut my hand on Friday night as I try to prepare some watermelon. And I wonder why every single time when I cut my hand, it's always at the place that I need that. It's like I'm holding the watermelon like this, and then I didn't use the chopper I should have. And then I cut like that, and I cut my hand. And then without a thumb, how can you hold the watermelon, right? Like this? No. It always cut me at the place I needed most. When your tongue hurt people, it hurt the people closest to you. Those people, you need them most. Those people, they need you most. That's why, as we're going to spend a few more Sundays to talk about how can we serve our brothers and sisters, today we need to first look at one of the prerequisites. That is being able to master our sharp tongue. So what is a sharp tongue? It's like a critical manner of speaking. It means that what you say is often clever, but mostly unkind. Who among you think that you have a sharp tongue? Some of us? Yeah, I mean, when you speak. People may not notice that, because if you don't speak, people don't feel it. Maybe you can frame it as like, oh, you got a clever tongue. Anybody will think that I don't know how to speak. I don't like to speak in public at all. Some of us, maybe. Yeah? God makes people differently. But no matter whether you have a clever tongue or not, it could still be a sharp knife as you open your mouth. So, I mean, for those who put your hand up when I ask you whether you have a clever tongue, beware, because you speak more than other people, maybe. Our society is like extrovert dominant. Well, probably it's the same in the world, I mean in church as well. And when we talk about leaders, we want to have somebody who can like speak in front of everybody. Usually assuming an extrovert quality. I mean, sort of, certainly an extrovert have a lot of different qualities. But those with a clever tongue, who outspoken in public, are those who usually serve in leadership roles. Is that true that those leaders with such character can serve better? This year in the English ministry, there's a lot of changes in leadership. It's like we are pushing people to become leaders, to have new leaders in fellowship, or in all like, no matter like big or small, size of like even like prayer meeting. I mean, all sorts of things we are putting people's name to either coordinate that, to lead that effort. Sometimes I think like maybe we're sort of pushing it. Even our leadership training, we haven't finished that, but we are pushing them to practice how to lead. Leaders are usually those who stand up and teach or say something. When you say something, you sort of you're teaching. So when you hear James said, not many of you should become teachers, my brother, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Are you alerted? Are you thinking, oh, am I qualified to be a leader or be a teacher? Well, certainly I think what James said here is not to restrict the whole passage for those teachers. It's more about like to try to catch the attention of those people. You think you're a teacher, you think you're a leader? Probably it's time to wake up to hear what he's going to say. But I mean, even if James is only talking about teacher, I would like to say all of us are actually teachers. In the old days, teachers have more responsibility. You listen to teachers. These days, I guess you don't only listen to professor, the expert on things. I mean, you get onto YouTube and you search on something, you listen to a guy who sort of like know what he's doing, and then you listen to him. You decide who is right, who is worth listening to. And all of us, if you want to, you can open a YouTube channel and then you start to teach people how to play drums, how to sing, whatever. We got a platform to teach. Our Facebook post, maybe Instagram, blog, or maybe just your comment on other people's posts. We are influencing people with all the words coming out from us all the time. Even my 2-year-old son picked up a few words and phrases from his sister, 5 years old. So unless you're not living, you're teaching somebody. Right? So all of us are teachers. This is especially true in church. It's true for those who stand up like me to speak in front of a lot of people. It's also true for those when you're sitting down, you share among yourself group. You're teaching each other. That's what we do in the faith community. Think about a newcomer. If they come to the fellowship, or maybe there is a new believer, and hear what you say about like the character of Jesus. Well, surely they will think about whether it's true or not, whether it's the same as what they have read from the Bible. But mostly they will just believe you, just trust you that what you say is right. So we are all teachers, sort of in different capacity. We are all holding a knife in our mouth, sort of in different sharpness. So today, I would like you to see 3 things. Yep. The first one is to realize that our influence and the corresponding risk. The second one is to master your mouth. How to master? This importance for sure. How to do that? I put like speak up at the right time to build, and shut up at the right time to avoid destruction. And also to try the best to keep the source clean. I will explain that. And I've said that unless you don't speak, somehow you're teaching. Your influence comes with your presence. And the risk actually comes along too. As James said, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he said, he is a perfect man. And we know that there's no perfect man. He's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So no matter your extroverts, introverts, we all stumble. Well, I'm certainly not saying that those who speak less will not stumble, but the risk is lower because they talk less. Words sometimes just spill out of our mouths. Not sure whether you have that experience. Think about an incident that you didn't intend to say that, but it just spilled out. I'll give you one of my examples. I like the kitchen to be tidy, and my wife liked that too, but the way we like it is a bit different. One day I went home after a long day, and I saw the kitchen having like those boxes and dishes all over the bench. All those are clean. But it's like waiting to be dry. That's like the different style. My thought actually spilled out of my mouth and said, "Oh, did you have a busy day that you have no time to tidy that up?" This kind of thing. Well, my wife certainly picked that up, and the harmony lost for a moment. But I should just help and put away the dishes if I want that to be like that way, right? I should do instead of just say something. But instead, my sinful nature let me down. I didn't expect that. But if I planned, I wouldn't say it for sure, right? I'm sure you have that experience. We stumble from the very early days in Genesis. Let's go there. When God asked Adam, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I command you not to eat from?" And Adam said, "The woman you put there with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." The woman you put here with me. Did Adam mean that it's God's fault? Does it sound familiar? Sometimes we blame each other. We think about, "Oh, is it your fault?" Sin of speech seems to be part of our nature. Words just spill out of Adam's mouth as he tried to explain, "No, Lord, no." And he might not realize that he was actually accusing God, who's the one who made Eve for him. So James reminds us, be careful when you speak, because we all make mistakes. So have you ever regret about what you have said? When you're in anger, when you panic, when you're really busy, whenever you're losing control of your temper. I guess we all have this experience with our parents, with our spouse, with our friends, with our brother and sister. Those we care most, we hurt them most. With our tongue, the sharp knife. So for anyone, a controlled tongue is almost the key to bless each other. When our tongue is under control, then we're able to master it. It does good things. James used two illustrations. The first is a horse bit. It's small, but it can boast because instead of letting the horse running around, it controls it. It guides the body of the horse. And the second one is the rudder under the sheep. It's also small, but it directs the body of the sheep to whatever direction in strong wind. In the same way, if you are in control of your small tongue, your whole life is possible to be in control. It's possible. Somebody described our tongue as a master switch. Have you seen the switchboard in your house? If that master switch is off, that's nothing will work. I mean, nothing related to power will work in your house. If the master switch is operating fine, then you can turn on different parts, all the switches, all the appliances you have. So your tongue is like the master switch. If you have that out of control, nothing is really working. Think about this. Like, say this morning, say if I have prepared a perfect sermon, and the panel have tuned the volume of my voice to a perfect place. But if earlier in the morning at the breakfast time you overheard that I gossip about a brother or a sister in church, and then you see me stand up here and talk about how to master your tongue, I guess you probably will just stay here. I mean, for some people, they may just walk out. "Oh, this guy is just gossip some people and is trying to talk about how to master your tongue. Oh, no, I'm not wasting my time here." For I would have lost every single bit of attention. We all stumble in many ways. You know that it's not easy. But James is not asking us to stop using this piece of tools. He's not stop using our tongue completely. He's not telling us, if we are not a perfect man, just keep your mouth shut and don't say anything. Or else we won't have those two illustrations. Our tongue is useful when it is well mastered. So you should speak up when time is right, so that you can build each other's life. I mean, certainly you have experienced that. Because that part is like when you're in control. But when it's not well controlled, we will have a risk like a fire in the forest. Fire is good. Oh, not yet. Fire is good, but it's dangerous. I mean, if you don't manage it, imagine a fire start uncontrolled in a forest. Destruction could be enormous. James said, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Our tongue, when it's not behaving, is more like an active fire. It won't sit there and wait for you to control it. It will spread to your whole life, your whole body. And the evil use our tongue to set our life on fire. And unfortunately, James said, we just cannot control it. When I read to you this point, and I'm thinking, oh no, I thought James is giving us some hints how to control it. But he said, for every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. So what can we do? I should just stop and get off the station. Nobody should speak in the rest of the service. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. As I prepared it, the reason I find struggle is like I keep recording the incidents in my life that I let my tongue become knife or become like full of deadly poison. Foul language is not part of my usual dictionary. Have anybody heard me swear or before? Maybe. Did anybody have swear before? Anybody have not swear at all? Okay. Yeah, that's quite normal. I usually use other ways to express my emotions. But there were an experience that I can recall, and that shows how poisonous our tongue can be. When I was in university, there was a summer. I mean, that's a long time ago, but I still remember that. There was a summer I worked with those people who like to swear for a few months. So my mind, you sort of like, there's a lot of things in your mind, a lot of poison in that. When I went back to the university during like the toilet break and I was using the toilet, somebody just making fun of me and just pull my bag from the back and foul language came out of my mouth. And seriously, I was surprised by myself. What happened? That guy later on asked me, like, hey, you're a Christian. What happened to you? Have you struggled to tame your tongue? I mean, we try our best to do that. I talked a lot more when I was younger. And I have to admit that there's a lot of words I wish I haven't said. But it's too much that I lost track of that. I just cannot recall all of them. James said, no human being can tame the tongue. So I would say the best way for me to master my tongue is to speak less. is to shut up at the right time. Our tongue is fundamentally involved in our thoughts, our imaginings, our desire, our inner feelings. Everything spilled from your mouth comes from the source of the fountains of in your heart. In verse 9, James said, with it we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. We sing praise from our heart. If there's something else from our heart, it will come out as well. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pool fall from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olive, or grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. What sort of inconsistency? If we sing praise, but from the same mouth we also curse other people, it's inconsistent. We should wonder whether we are truly saying praise to our Lord, because our Lord created and made all human. And James said, these things ought not to be so. We ought not speak badly to each other if the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. You know, the source of our fountain have been replaced in Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has renewed us so that we can declare the wonderful works of God. That's the only reason that we can sing praise, because the Holy Spirit is within us. We need to keep the source clean before we open our mouth. Today we have talked about the prerequisite of serving in church. Why is that related? Because although that the most important service in church may be to proclaim God's word to each other, to serve the word of God. Think about the table. We are serving the word of God as people come in to church. But according to a theologian, Bonhoeffer, there are three other services that definitely should be some kind of entree. We talk about those in the Sundays later on. Those entree, they sort of pointing to the word, but like without this entree, the main dish, God's word, is not prepared. Those three entrees are listening, actively helping out, and bearing each other. And those we will understand more about those later on. I'm sure you are doing some of those already. But today we are trying to set up the table. Just think about that. You got the main dish, God's word there. You got the entree. You're trying to listen. You're trying to help each other out. You're trying to bear each other's burden. But on the table, you also got a lot of nails. You haven't cleaned it up. Who would like to taste your entree, taste your main? Because the nails are all over the table. Who would like to be served like this? So master our sharp tongue is the first thing that we need to do. Anytime we try to serve other people, if you're not sure whether your source, your heart is clean, you better keep your mouth shut. At the end, I would like to reflect on one question. Have you spoken about a brother or sister in his or her absence? Like speaking behind them for different kind of reasons. Or maybe do you plan to tell them afterwards? That is something we usually use. We discuss about people. Who haven't discussed about person in the past week? None of us. But those are the places that we think we are just using our tongue. But maybe those instances are too sharp already. Think about that, what you have talked about, you have spoke about your brother and sister in the past week. Think about one of the instances and Let's submit to God and ask Him to remind us if there's anything that we have done wrong. Let's bow our head and we'll pray. I'll give you some time to reflect first. Dear Lord, there have been times that we use our tongue in a way that you don't like. There are times that we use our tongue to hurt people unintentionally. There might be times that we don't even know that actually hurt relationship between our brother and sister, and also the relationship between you and us. Lord, may Holy Spirit teach us when to open up to declare your goodness, when to shut up, close our mouth when it's not appropriate to say anything. Lord, help us to understand that it's almost impossible to tame our tongue, to control, to completely master our tongue. Lord, help us to work from the source of everything, that is the Holy Spirit who's dwelling in our heart. Let's, Lord, help us to get closer to you so that everything, every thought that we have in our mind is something that is okay to spill out of our mouth. Lord, help us to live as a faith community, that we can open up ourselves, anything that we, in our thoughts, to each other. Lord, we know that you know everything. And you want us to live openly among our brothers and sisters. Lord, we pray that will continue to happen in our church, and our community can grow continuously to be more like your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.